Turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. I want to extend that challenge I gave last Sunday one more week. Purpose in your heart that you'll ask someone to come to church next Sunday to worship God. It's for him, not for this church, except this church is the body of Jesus Christ. Now, I do ask you to pray for me because that sinus bug got to me. By the way, while I was ministering last night, I was breathing burning asphalt and motor fuel, and it got to me a little bit, but God's able to get me through it, amen, and us through it. Now, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. And I wish we knew something between that time back there when Jesus was 12 years old and he had gone down for the census with his parents, and when they came back, started back home, he stayed behind and stayed in the synagogue and was very busy both asking and answering questions of the wisest men in religion. Now, listen to be careful. Wise in religion, they were. And so his parents had gone a couple of days and then had to run back to see if they could find him. And guess where they found him? Just where they ought to find him. You know where that is. Where should they have found him? In his father's house. And by the way, that's where we're supposed to be found when we're supposed to be found there. In the father's house. I just had to throw that in a little bit. Okay? Now, and the word of God says he was not only answering questions of the wise men, he was asking questions. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that he dumbfounded them. Now, all we know about that time, when Jesus said to them, "What? Don't you know it's time I be about my Father's business?" Now, since we've run all the kids off, anyway, since the children are going to children's church, okay, just us here, and all of us are at least 12, no, you're not. It's time we're about our Father's business. I stand wondering, and I stand questioning the next statement. And he went home, and he was subject to God and to his parents, continuing to learn. Now, here we find him at the age of 30, thereabouts. And he's walking by the Sea of Galilee. By the way, he was raised very close to the Sea of Galilee. And now, I suspect that Jesus knows he's about to begin his ministry. And so he's walking along, and he finds these two guys. Read with me now, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw the two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen, and they were fishing. Okay? We can draw that conclusion. Now, the next two, we can't draw that conclusion. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Evidently, they understood what he was saying because immediately they left their nets with their father and followed him. And then going on, verse 21, from there he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Now, here's two fishing with nets, and here's two mending their nets. So he calls them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And then Jesus went on along the Sea of Galilee. The title, topic of this sermon is Let's go fishing. You ever have anybody invite you to go fishing? I mean, I love to go fishing. Don't you? I've gone fishing, oh my, about everywhere. I have fished the Zambezi River in Africa. Had a problem, one fishing hole on the Zambezi River. Everything we caught, the piranha ate them up. And we didn't get much but the head and the hook back. And then, well, I kept expecting maybe they'd bite the hook off one of these days. I've gone up several places in northern Canada fishing. Great time with my boys. We would go up there. I'll give you one of the stories. You need to hear this story. We packed the van and the boat and everything. And my brother and his two boys and my oldest brother, and me and two of my sons, the oldest and the next one, Ken and Denny. And we drove that 800 and something miles and got up there, you know, and had to take all of our groceries and everything we're going to cook with and everything we're going to eat. We took all of that and went up the river, up the Little Current River, oh, I don't know, 6 or 7 miles, over two rapids and around one waterfall, and pitched camp. Now, fortunately, we had fished that river, and we had fished the lake upriver before. And so, first day out, we all just pulled them in. Our son, Dennis, cast out 12 times and reeled in without missing a fish every time. Oh, same fish. No, same kind of fish. I said, no, a walleye. He caught every time. Here came a guy with a guide across the lake, and they pulled up there, oh, I don't know, probably as far as near the front door from us, and said, you catching anything? And, you know, kids. Ken reached down and grabbed a stringer of walleye, and it almost had enough walleye for all of our limits, and held them up, a nice walleye. And if you know anything about fish, walleye is the best tasting fish there is. And then about that time, Ken reaches down and pulls up a stringer of northern pike, and the smallest one on there was 42 inches long. Now, immediately, the guide's trying to get the guy to go. And he said, can I fish here too? Sure you can. We shared our fishing hole with him. There's a point in that. We'll get to it in a little bit. Fishing's a great, whatever you call it, exercise, call it sport, call it whatever, your pastime. Somebody said that a poor day of fishing is better than a good day about anything else. And that we'll come back to. Now, but I want to warn you. Anytime you think you're a good fisherman, you give a kid a cane pole and a big red bobber and a can of worms, and he'll outfish you every time. It just works out that way. Now, let's go fishing. And so, you need, point one, you need an invitation to go fishing. Now, if you're a good fisherman, if you know your stuff, you don't have to. You just go by yourself. But did you know it's not near so much fun going fishing by yourself as just taking someone with you? So remember that. The next time you plan to go fishing, invite someone to go with you. Now, down in Florida where we lived on a 19,000-acre lake full of alligators and full of crappie and full of dogfish and full of northern pike, and I had a pontoon, and I didn't have to invite anybody. They were standing in line ready to go anytime I went towards the dock. But if you're going to go fishing for men, that's what we're talking about, you know. You go and fishing for men, you invite someone to go with you. You take someone with you, and they may tell you, most likely they will tell you, I don't know much about fishing for men. Well, then I'll show you. And so you start your journey with someone, and you're going fishing for men. By the way, the only kind of fishing where success, are you with me? Where success is guaranteed is fishing for men. Did you know Jesus said that? I'll make you fishers of men. And he said, cast your net, and you'll draw it in. So let's begin this. Well, we got lots of time. Let's begin this fishing trip, all right? I can tell you this. When you go fishing for fish, when you go fishing for men, you can expect the unexpected. Never will forget a fishing trip we were on up in Canada, and a guy named J.W. Tompkins, I'd known him a long time, good friend, he'd never been fishing much, and he said, before you guys get too old, quit going, or some reason they quit going up there. We went every year a week after Memorial Day. I want to go one time, and so we took him. And when we got there and J.W. unloaded his gear, he had a Zebco 202. That's like going hunting for a bear with a switch. He had that little Zebco 202. It wasn't even a fiberglass. It was a plastic kind of rod. We were fishing. And we decided we would pull off into a cove over there where there was a creek and get out on the shore and cook our lunch. You know, it's nothing. Fish tastes so good. I'm telling you, when you cook your fish over an open fire, you just caught them, they're so good. But J.W. stayed on the boat. Yeah, it was one of those big old 14-foot semi-Vs, 10-horse motor. But he stayed on the boat, and then in a while, he started hollering, he started yelling. And you could hear the gears, guys. You could hear the gears burning up in that little old 202. The line just peeling off. He stayed out there. We ate, and he stayed out there. We ate, and he'd reel it in, and the fish would peel it off. He had a 51-inch northern pike. He stayed out there, pulled. He'd put his pole through here, raise up the motor, and get it over here, and he did that for about 30 minutes. Listen, point is, he didn't give up, and guess what? Well, you know he caught it because I told you how long it was. We measured the thing. He stayed with the task. He didn't have the best of equipment because I had a Garcia Mitchell on an Eagle Claw. By the way, I'll tell you, it was a 301. That tells you what that's about, doesn't it? You don't know what a 301 Garcia Mitchell's about? Oh, I ought not to tell you, hadn't I? I'll just keep you. No, that's the best Garcia Mitchell for a left-handed guy. The 300's for a right-handed. That was it. They got better than that now. But I had that Eagle Claw rod. I mean, eyelet ever 12 inches. That's why, hey, you measure a good rod. There's a point to that, too. You need, when you go fishing for men, you need the right equipment. But, listen to me. You don't have to be an expert fisherman. The boy in the cane pole proves that. You don't have to have the very best of equipment. J.W.'s 202 Zebco proves that. But you do have to fish. Got it? You do have to fish. Story goes, you know how much rain they've been having in Texas lately? You know? I mean, they've just been having floods everywhere, Houston and Dallas in particular. Story goes that an old farmer down in Texas, sitting on his porch with his cane pole in his rocking chair, fishing in a mud hole out in his front yard. And a guy come by and said, what in the world are you doing? He said, I'm kicking my tools over. he said, I'm fishing. That's what I'm doing. He said, dummy, there's not any fish in that mud hole. He said, oh, really? It's my mud hole? My fishing pole. I can fish if I want to, can't I? Question, folks. Do you want to go fishing? Do you want to go fishing for the souls of men? You're guaranteed success if you do. And by the way, you may not have, and we're going to take a time out right here. You may not have the very best of equipment. You may not have a Garcia Mitchell. You may not have some of the better, bigger fishing rods and reels. But let me tell you something. You can go fishing. Now, time out. I want you to hear me. Hear me well. Peggy Lorraine and I are going away, and we're going fishing. No joke, I'll come back and tell you how many we caught. The last time I went, we caught 175. Now, that won't awe you until I'll tell you there were four of us caught 175 catfish. Had the gosh awfulest fish fry you ever saw. That whole Smithville community. No joke, it was Smithville community. Came to the fish fry. We had a big old kettle, and we had one for hush puppies, and one for French fries, and one for catfish, and one for other kinds of fish. And, you know, we had a fish fry. Did it make your mouth water? Okay. By the way, do you all know that there's not a place I can find in Huntington that sells, a cafe that sells catfish? Now, you can stand up and tell me where it's at if you know where there is. Bob, you know everything about Huntington. Not one here. Well, I may go into business while I've been Huntington, okay? Okay, listen. We're going away for a week. We'll be back on Tuesday after Memorial Day, and we're going to begin. It will be in the bulletin. We are going to have a training session for fishing. Well, that don't thrill you? You don't want to go fishing? I mean fishing for men. Fishing for men. Listen, folks, shortly from now, there will be between 70 and 100 people from Black Oak, Arkansas. That's one of the things we're fishing. That's one of the holes we're fishing in when we get down there. Here, there'll be, in there, patching holes. They'll be probably putting the rest of the siding on the women's shelter. We'll be doing block parties. We'll be doing vacation Bible schools in Columbia City and here. And I want to tell you something. That will catch fish. I have never been to a block party that didn't catch fish if you did anything right at all. I've seen some had the wrong kind of equipment, did everything wrong, still caught fish at the block party. Now, if we're not ready, vacation Bible school, boys and girls coming in for a week, hearing the Word of God and hearing and encouraged in the Word of God and challenged in the Word of God, and if some of those will accept Christ. And if we're not ready to go out and reach out to them and share with them, what's next? What's next? You see, Baptists are notoriously bad about not cleaning what to catch. You with me? You with me? Listen, Jesus said, and I suspect he's right about fishing, don't you? Jesus said, go ye into all the world and fish. Yeah, you can read it that way. Go into all the world and fish. And when you catch them, clean them. When you catch them, clean them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you. Now, who else would you rather have on a fishing trip than Jesus? Well, do you remember the time when those old boys had fished all night long, and Jesus asked them that embarrassing question that fishermen hate to hear? Catch anything? Not a thing. Fished all night long, didn't catch anything. Well, hey, tell you what you do. Back up about that far and throw that net out on the other side of the boat. We fished this water all night long. do what I say. And they did. They backed up, they cast out their net, and they got so many fish, they counted them, 150 some odd. I'd like to see those odd fish, wouldn't you? Well, I want to tell you, when you go fishing for men, Bob, you catch some odd ones. But we got to clean them. Jesus knew how to fish. He illustrated that all the time. So you can trust him. We can go fishing with Jesus for men. I want to challenge you. I want to just about double dog. Y'all know about double dog dare? When I was a kid, there's more bloody noses over double dog dares. You know, some silly boy would say, "Double dog dare you knock that off my nose." Well, everybody knew you just couldn't stand. You just couldn't stand still and take a double dog dare. It was kind of fun, really, to knock that off his nose. Pow. Now, that was before I really got discipled. Are you with me? Okay. Now, so we're going to be ready. And we're going to go out, and we'll have specific days when we will go out. We'll have specific evenings when we're going to go out, and we're going to put everything else aside. And we're going to go out and fish. And fish. Well, we've got to continue this. You do need a fishing hole. I've been to some strange fishing holes out in Mungu, Africa. We went there, and they knew nothing. I mean, they knew nothing. The Zeb Church was the only church that had been there and tried, and they didn't have a gospel. They didn't know anything about Jesus. And we went up the river to Limalunga and went on a boat out on the river to villages that had never seen a white guy. I bet they thought we were oddballs. The kids just loved to run up and rub your head when you sit down because it was shiny. They didn't have the word white in their vocabulary. It was shiny. A plane went over, it was shiny. A cloud went over, it was a shiny cloud, you know. And so, now, this is not going to be a good fishing trip, was my thinking. I think everybody in our crew was thinking, this is not going to be a good fishing trip. There were some things that said, this is not going to be a good fishing. Listen to me. In a week and a half, we shared the gospel with 1,500 people that responded and said, "I will believe in Jesus. I will believe in Jesus." We baptized 1,500 people on that last Sunday we were there. Now, if you want to get real good and tired, you stand in mud up to about here, about there. I mean, it's one of those, you know, to get out. And all day long. Let me share with you just a little. Will you give me an extra minute or two? How many of you will give me an extra minute or two in this sermon? Well, let's see, 6, 8, 10. Oh, yeah, that's plenty. That's 15 minutes. Thank you. We were baptizing these peoples. Most of us are adults. Or so we think we are, anyway. And the women had nothing on from here up. They had a long piece of cloth wrapped around them, covered their feet. They had nothing on here. I'm telling you, that's challenging to baptize. Dan, that gets challenging to baptize people like that. But when they got baptized, the deaconesses came out with a big old canvas cloth and wrapped around them and led them on out of the... They had a way of doing that. Just about the time you got them up out of the water, they had them wrapped up. Then they lead them up out of the river. So I said to Abba, can't we just kindly forego with this stuff here? Oh, no. In fact, he got about as excited as I ever seen a fisherman get. And that night, so tired I couldn't go to sleep. Abba said, "Oh, preacher, I want to tell you. What? He said, you know, you was wanting to dispense with that part of the... Yeah, he said, hang on now. He said, well, let me tell you what that's about. If you had have seen one of those women's knees, that's right, her knees, she'd have never been able to look anyone in the face again. You said knees. How about, does that translate into the part of the leg right there between the shin and the thigh? Yeah. She'd have been so embarrassed. Had nothing on here up. She'd be so embarrassed. Well, then we got to laughing. And I couldn't go to sleep from laughing about that all night long. Listen. You need a fishing hole. Every place I've been in the world, and some places I didn't go in evangelistic effort, but I went fishing. Did you know you can do that? Did you know when you go to work in the morning, you can go fishing? When you go to school in the morning, you can go fishing. Somebody going to go fishing for this gizmo one of these days. I'm going to throw it away. I'm just going to start refuting the enemy for messing up with this thing. Okay. Now, we went to Rostov in Russia. And, you know, kind of expecting a real outpour, you know, a God thing. Well, it was a God thing. But we didn't have 1,500 people saved. Every fishing trip's not the same, folks. Got it? Now, we'll just forego with that part, okay? And just do this part here. You have to know where fish can be found in what hole. Do you know you don't fish for catfish in the same places you fish for crappie? Do you know you don't fish for crappie in the same places you fish for bass? You have to know what fish you're looking for. And that's what we're going to study. That's what we're going to learn. We're going to learn how then, what kind of bait, what kind of lures, all the equipment. By the way, we noticed this, he mentioned these guys' boats. Different boats for different fishing trips. Did you know you don't go down a river in a yacht? Now that makes good sense, doesn't it? Shake your head like this. I know you're awake. Shake your head like this. I know you're awake. Shake your head like now then. And you don't, listen, you don't go out on Lake Michigan in a canoe. Well, you can, but you ain't up to par on fishing yet if you do. In fact, there was a tidal wave, some kind of a big blow when it came across from the west to the east on Lake Michigan back in early 70s. We were out there in a little over 14-foot semi-V, 15-horse motor boat fishing. The lake was just as placid as this platform, just at still. And a helicopter came over and said, there's a big blow coming, you know, with a loudspeaker. And this way, across the lake, and you need to get in off the lake. Well, most people ought to be, ought to be smart enough. When the authority tells you something, you do it. We turned and went in. We were about 6 miles out on Lake Michigan catching salmon, followed a charter boat. We turned, noticed that the charter boat turned right behind us, and noticed that there were people at 12-foot flat John boats, 5-horse motors out there. And there were people in huge boats out there. By the time we got into the Platte River and got back up around the sandbar and got out of the river, it had begun to blow. In a couple of hours, those waves were crashing in there 10 and 12 foot high, boats coming with them, and there was a sandbar, of course, always is when a river runs into a lake. It was a sandbar. And those boats were just running up on that sandbar and flipping over, filling up. And we were wading out, digging out, pulling out guys, and well over 100 people perished that night there at the Platte River because they had the wrong kind of boat, and then they didn't observe the rules. When you get ready to go fishing, you have the right equipment, you know what to fish with, and you know where to fish, and you got to know the right time. This is my closing point. You have to know the right time to fish. When we were in Florida, I had a few places that I kindly, if I really wanted to catch some crappie, I kindly went by that place. And the fish finder would show you were there. And I'm telling you, you knew they were 8 foot down, or you knew they were 12 foot down, and you could just plug at them all the day long, and they wouldn't even look at the lure. Whatever you fished with. And then, go back late that afternoon, you couldn't keep them knocked off your hook. You got to know when to fish. And fish then. You see, the outline is this. Somebody plants a seed, and that may be what we're doing. Somebody waters that seed to get it to sprout. Have you noticed how the corn's popping out of the ground right now? There's a patch of field of winter wheat right over by Bearfield Raceway, and it looks to me like every time I go back, it's grown 6 inches. Somebody waters those plants. You witness, you may think, I didn't do any good. I didn't win anything. Listen, it's not up to you to decide whether you are the planter, the sower, or the waterer, or you stick in the sickle and reap the harvest. It's up to you to be the fisherman. Now, I want to issue a challenge to you. Listen to me. God is saying, now you keep these ifs down pat. If you're born again, if you have accepted Jesus Christ and that wonderful gift of salvation, free, absolutely free, no cost at all to you, and you've accepted that as your own, and you become a child of God, God is saying to you, I'm ready for you to go fishing. Now, don't say you don't know how, because let me tell you, we're going to offer a class that will teach you how, and it will amaze you, it will just flat out amaze you how easy it will be. It will. I want to close with this. The best fishing for men I ever did was right after I got tired of being a bottle Christian and being bottle fed and spoon fed and not doing anything, and decided I wanted my life to count for Jesus. And folks, listen, if there was CWT, if there was EE, if there was sharing Jesus without fear, all of those programs and plans, I never knew anything about them. And they didn't reach the cotton patch. But God had to just about drive me to go witness. Now, right after I made a commitment to preach, and we were at college, and pastored a little church on an island in the San Francis River, I go over on Saturday, and we would, and spend the night with my auntie, and visit all day Saturday. And I go by a guy's house, hoping he'd go to town before I got back. Come back by, wouldn't you know, he'd be right there. Let me tell you about one. His nickname was Banny. He's a little bitty feisty guy. They called him Banny Thomas. And I took Nelson Tull, who was a big shot preacher kind of guy, I just stood in awe of that big ball headed man, and I took him by to visit old Banny. And Banny started just on him just like he did on me every time. Made fun of him. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't know about that Bible, Banny just went ahead. Nelson just went ahead and shared the gospel. And said, come on, boy. Let's go. And to you, sir, you can go ahead and go to hell. It won't be our fault. Now, I want to tell you, that is not a suggested program for fishing for men. But listen, that night at the revival, why, of course Banny didn't come. You thought I was going to say he came, didn't you? But listen, just before we started the invitation, was to start the invitation, Banny came through the doors and came down that aisle, fell on his face just a squalling and a bawling. This is the gospel truth. I told you that because I want you to know this. Your kinfolks, your children, your neighbors, your buddies, if they don't know Jesus Christ, if they've not accepted Him, if you, sir, if you, madam, have not accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, invited Him in to be the redemption of your soul, to give you an eternal life that lasts forever in heaven, then they're going to hell. You ought to say amen. You know that's the truth. Jesus said, you are either for me or you're either against me. Jesus said in John 3:16, he that believeth on me is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. He goes right on to say, he that believeth on me is not condemned, but he believeth, well, I didn't get it all just right yet, did I? I will. You just give me time to unravel it, okay? He that believeth not is condemned already because. Well, let's see. You can be a murderer or a whoremonger or a whore. You can be a thief, a liar. No, that's not what he said. He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let me ask you a personal question. In fact, I'll ask you two. And if these get successful, I might ask them. No. First, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? For by grace through faith, Ephesians chapter 2, for grace through faith, you're saved. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? And two, have you purposed, it's time you got busy about being a fisherman of men? Listen, we can do all the things that are good, and they're good. I can't argue that, but the best. What we really have accomplished, what ought to be accomplished, is when we talk to someone, share with someone the good news, Jesus saves. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready for New Life Christian Fellowship to be a fishing church after the souls of men? I'm going to ask you, first of all, I want to ask two things. One, I want to challenge you. If you are not dead sure, positively sure, that you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that you've come to that place, that you put your faith in Him, and He has come into your life to live there in the person of the Holy Spirit, I want to challenge you to come. That goes for you just like it does everybody else. If you haven't accepted Christ, you're on your way to hell. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. Now then, and I want to challenge you further. I left out till this place, this point. There's no age or sex on fishing for men. Years ago, when we were in Fort Wayne, we would go out to start a new church, and we'd go door to door to door to door. And there were two young girls, about 15 or 16, went to Coventry Baptist Church. They weren't quite that old, Jessica and the other little girl. Anyway, and every time we do, they would go. And they'd come back, and they'd have the names and the addresses of three or four people that had accepted Christ. People were just awed by the fact that here were teenagers out knocking on doors, sharing Jesus. And listen, when we went back and followed up, sure enough, those people were, they were saved. They were ready for the next step. So I want to challenge you. If you haven't lately made a commitment, Lord, I am going to be a fisher of men. He'll provide the hole. I'm telling you, he'll provide the fish. All you got to do is be ready. I want to challenge you to come and say, I'm ready for me to be a fisher of men, and I'm ready for my church to be a fisher of men. We're going to have an invitation song.